Hello, all you growers out there. Thank you for tuning into GrowCast. Jordan River here. Membership to mygrowpass.com is opening up in 12 short days. June 22nd, membership opens. You can join our wonderful membership program. July 9th, registration closes. Just a heads up, you'll be hearing more about that later. Today's episode is with a brand new guest, Nathan the Veggie Guy. He's a professional farmer. He's getting into cannabis. We talk about veggies and cannabis and companion planting and the moon's effect on vegetables and different plants and lots of exciting stuff. It's a great episode. I know you're going to love it. Before we jump in, let's give some love to Cultilux. Cultilux.com, the industry-leading suppliers in CMH lighting. Promo code GROWCAST gets you 10% off. MyGrowPass.com members get 25% off Cultilux now. Cultilux is having some trouble. COVID's hit them pretty hard. You can still purchase through them by emailing them. You can view their products online and email them, but their systems are down. There's lots of craziness with lots of businesses right now, and this is an example of that. So Cultilux is still up and running. You can still use your discount. Just make sure to email them at Cultilux. That's how you can buy. For instance, they have a 315-watt CMH, a 630-watt CMH, and a brand new 1,000-watt double-ended CMH, and they are fantastic. Cultilux manufactures for many other brands. That's how industry-leading they are. You might already be growing with one. But if you haven't tried CMH Spectrum or you need yourself another one, Cultilux.com is where you need to go. GrowCast10 for 10% off. MyGrowPass.com for 25% off. Cultilux and so much more. Again, registration opening June 22nd. Okay, let's jump into the show, everyone. Enjoy the program. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to GrowCast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. Before we get started, please share GrowCast with a friend. Rate and review GrowCast, of course. Make sure you're subscribed. Spread the show. We appreciate it. The Homegrown Helpers by Rob Smith is available on whatever app you're listening to GrowCast on. For more growing talk, go subscribe now. And the Coffee, Health, and Science podcast, which you've heard about. Really great recent coffee history episode on the times that coffee was criminalized. Must go check that out, everyone. Today we are talking veggies. Finally, I've talked about this episode for a little while. We do some veggie talk on GrowCast. Today it's VeggieCast, and we have my guest who I have lovingly dubbed Nathan the Veggie Guy. What's up, Nathan?
Hey, how you doing, Jordan?
I'm doing excellent, man. How are you? How is your farm?
Farm this year looks a lot different from last year. COVID. Threw us off. Last year, 90% of our sales went wholesale to restaurants, and so with the restaurants being at half, and then in our area, I live up in northern Michigan, in a really beautiful part of it, and we have a lot of tourists, big events, like one's called the Cherry Festival, one's called the Venetian Festival, these big festivals that would cram in 100,000 people to these towns, right. They all got canceled. So with that happening, I just did not run the gambit with you'll learn probably more about my growing practices and stuff here as we get going, but run the gambit of growing for the masses and then just not having the masses show up. And I need margins are thin in the veggie industry, so not having, once we started hearing the cancellations of the big events, that's when we knew, like, dang, we needed those events. We need those big 300-400-pound weekends of lettuce to be sold.
Yeah, so, that northern area of Michigan is so beautiful, too. You've got that kind of, like, there's all those little islands and all those bays as Michigan kind of, right? Am I right about that? Yeah, there's like a whole coast up there.
Yeah, we got like the, out of our town has the Beaver Island Ferry. That takes you up to Beaver Island, like a nice, like, cool little remote island. And
that's cool.
Yeah, it's just a beautiful, huge vacation area, but the whole COVID thing really is a big time damper on a lot of the industries up here.
Yeah, that makes me really sad, and we try not to, I mean, I know you listen to the show, we try not to do too much COVID talk just because it's kind of inundating everything else, but one thing that makes me so sad is events like that being canceled, events in the cannabis space being canceled. We're not here to comment on, it's time to open up or don't open up. That's not our place. But I am here to say that that does sadden us that this pandemic wrecked, and it's a selfish thought, but I'm going to say it. This pandemic wrecked a whole year's worth of really exciting events that I was excited to get GrowCast to, and everybody's life just kind of got thrown up in upheaval. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And it is what it is right now. Like I'm not too down on it. It's given me an opportunity to go into, the reason why I'm on GrowCast is this gives me an opportunity. I've been buying, having to buy, all this cannabis from other people. And then why was I doing that when I'm a veggie farmer? I could be growing it myself.
That's so cool, man.
I just thought I'd take a jump into it. And so that's where I'm at with it this year. Super novice. Today I'll be potting up 12 auto flowers, and I'm going to pot them up into just the potting soil bags that I bought. And I'm going to see how that goes. I'm a MacGyver farmer, so who knows? I might be making a horrible mistake there, but we can get onto that later. But back to the original question about my farming experience and stuff like that and what's going on with it. This year we got covered. We'll skip that. But we started almost, I've been growing almost full time for 7 years now. Okay. We started out in the state of Wyoming, mm-hmm. and we realized that the direction our farm wanted to go was more for wholesale restaurants. And our philosophy of why we started farming was, kind of organic, but more or less I used to listen to this one other podcaster that would always say, put your money where your mouth is at type of phrase. And, he was always like just motivating people instead of just sitting on the internet complaining about what's going on, go make something happen.
Nice.
Something that my wife and I always thought was interesting was like how far food travels and like how much that takes, that's just a huge impact in itself.
The production chain for food. Yeah. Oh my God. It's wildly staggering when you understand the full scope of it. Did this lead you to change states and what now, like you said, in Michigan, you just sell to restaurants. That's so cool, man.
Yeah. And that's where we thought the biggest impact could be made. Whoa. So not only could we grow organically, we weren't certified, but we just used organic practices.
Sure.
But we were taking out a huge, like what we thought for two individuals in a food market, we were taking out a huge swath to where we were able to live on that money. And we were like, that's pretty cool. Cause we just took that out of the big guys,
Wow.
Like we took that money from them and we supported our little family and we supported a couple seasonal employees through the years.
That's cool.
So yeah, last year when we were going full prime, we switched down to, where lettuce was our only vegetable besides cilantro and some other finer greens. Jeez. Like that. But we only grew four types of lettuce. And on average, we would go through or harvest around 100 to 150 pounds of lettuce a week, which means that was 1,200 lettuce heads a week that we had to transplant.
Jeez.
And then we would plan ahead. We knew when these festivals were coming up, so we would plan ahead by 60 days, and we would just triple our capacity for those so we could harvest 300 to 400 pounds of lettuce those weeks that those events came up, because the restaurants would go through them so easily. And we were busy at our farm and at our one farmer's market that we attended. We'd also get an influx of sales there. And then the other side of it was where we first got into flowers is, we started growing commercial or high production, cut flowers. And so that's what kind of led me into cannabis this year too. Mm-hmm. This year was I grew all these beautiful cut flowers. I learned so much just from growing cut flowers that I definitely can transfer a lot of these techniques that I'm learning about pruning and all this. And then I get you mentioned the book the other day, the Grow Bible.
Which one? By who?
I see. The one I know you just mentioned.
What, Danko? Beginner's Guide to Growing Cannabis? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Danny Danko's A Beginner's Guide to Growing Cannabis, A Beginner's Guide to Cultivating Marijuana, I believe it's called. Yeah, we just, like I said in the read, that's no joke. My buddy in Missouri just got started and he was texting me all this stuff. And I was like, dude, you just, here, buy Danny's book. He read it that night and he said that he really, really enjoyed it. So you picked up Danny's book too?
Yeah. And then what's just is so funny is like you start everything I knew about hard pruning and topping to get more production off of more shoots so I could have more cut flowers. I started reading that book and I'm just like, oh, this is all it.
This is the same thing.
It's just farming. It's just the same thing. They're just flowers.
That makes me happy though. Cause that means that we can do what you do if that's the case. Right.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think that's the one thing I listen to the most, like talking to people that I knew, growers, you know, while I was farming vegetables, growers would talk to me about certain things. And I was always just like, you're putting way too much thought into what's actually going on. You're being way too minute. You're
meticulous and involved. You're saying veggies is even a little easier.
But I get it now, because now I have my own plants and I'm like watching them all the time. Yeah. I'm like, oh man, what's going on with this? But
that's cool, man.
There's so many different things that they would call me about, and I would just be, you know, like, oh, you could try this, this, and this, or we do this for aphids, or we do this for mites, we do this, or, you know, what are you doing organically to get rid of this, or how can we do this? You know,
that's really cool.
And so I was always trading information, and it was cool because it got me invited to grows, got me to check some different, you know, I checked out a huge CBD grow, and then I checked out a guy that was just doing a smaller grow that had like, the guy himself is like 6'8", and the plant was another 4 foot above him.
So that got you interested for sure when you were.
We can trust him
to bring some, you know, random veggie farmer into our grow, because we know that you're not in the industry, you're a farmer, you know, that's a safe bet for us. So I like that. I want to talk to you about growing veggies alongside cannabis. I want to talk to you about two tents, one for veggies, one for cannabis, all that. First, can I ask you some other questions though? One of the things you put in your bio sheet was your work with worms. I really want to talk to you about how you use worms, what you know about worms, what you think us cannabis growers could be doing better with worms.
Okay, cool. Yeah, worms. Worms is the backstory on worms. I'll make it long story short. My wife is a agronomist teacher. So
no, that's cool.
That classroom that she did that in, so they did worms, and the worms needed to go somewhere during the summertime. They just couldn't stay in the building there, or else they'd just rot away and nothing to feed them. So we adopted them and then we transferred them back, but we had residual worms left over.
Sure.
So in about a 3x3 concrete, I just used cinder blocks, didn't cement them together. I just built like a 3x3 cinder block wall that's about 3 cinder blocks tall. And what I do with the worms is I place food in the corners of that cinder block wall, and the worms will actually slowly just keep rotating around in a big giant circle, building their vermicompost.
Whoa.
Or the worm castings.
So you lead them around in a circular fashion?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. They're like, my friends call me a worm wrangler sometimes.
That's crazy, man.
I'm all amped about it, and like I'll show them like, well, this is where they're at right now, and this is where they'll be next week, and then this is where I'll put food this week, where you watch me put food right now. And they're like, you're like a worm wrangler. Dude, I'm like, yeah, nuts. I got my little herd. They follow me around. But they do a circle, and it's like a pattern. And with that pattern, you can just keep following it. And it's just amazing how quickly it happens and how easily they'll take more food waste and just make vermicompost out of it. There's a little bit more to it too. You have to add like straw material or paper material.
Right.
So this year we're going to struggle with that, because last year when we did it, the way we transplant all our lettuce is with a special device that uses paper. So as we were pulling that lettuce out of the field, we would throw the paper in with the worms, and the worms would consume the roots and whatever leaf matter was left of the harvest.
So you're not going to have that same paper input this year?
Not going to have that same paper input, but luckily right down the road, I got a sawmill. So I think I'm going to try. It's risky business going with sawdust shavings, but I'm going to give that a shot.
Interesting. I love this idea of inputs on your own farm, using neighboring farms for inputs. I like my little home closet grow now, because I used to have a, you know, big time grow and struggle with the size of it. But if I had a choice, if I had all the money in the world, I would probably want a little plot of land and grow some outdoor auto flower, kind of like what you're doing, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, man, this is really cool. That's super.
Yeah, cool. And Otto's was just like wanted to get production a little bit quicker, and then I have some others that aren't Otto's either. And what's really cool is because of your podcast, it motivated me to talk to a guy that I knew always grew, but I was always too shy to talk to. And we got kind of BSing back and forth, and I'm going to get my hands on some 70s, like, original skunk from Cali that he's had for a really long time. So nice. I think your podcast, I forget who it was you were talking to that was, like, so hyped up about making sure that you pay respects to the old-timers from Cali and stuff. But, like, McCormick, he motivated me, and I was just like, I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to just break the ice. I'm going to show him my pictures, and then. So that's
so dope. I love hearing stories like that, bringing guests together, bringing fans to guests, bringing fans to fans. That's really cool. I like to hear that. I'd never heard that specific, if we can get back to the worms, I'd never heard that specific kind of circular motion, which I imagine would have a more robust casting production, right?
Yeah, it's just how they just kind of can stack on top of each other, and also it gives them room to move.
That's crazy. I'm going to try. Yeah. I'm going to get something going. Do you use coffee grounds?
Yeah, I definitely want to, like, I don't use them right now, but I mean, I've used them in the past. And nice thing, what coffee grounds really does is it actually amps up the worms.
It doesn't surprise
me. They get that coffee in them, and they just get a little bit more amped up too from the caffeine.
Fuck,
that's my philosophy on it. But yeah, we used to use coffee grounds within the college's classroom and stuff like that. So, like, yeah, it was all sorts of different experiments they did. But I keep it basic with just whatever the worms kind of seem to be tending, or whatever I can feed them at the moment.
I feel you. I'm going to have a lot of coffee grounds, is why I ask. So
yeah, that's I figured when I heard that, I was like, oh yeah, he's got mad coffee grounds. So.
It's good stuff, man. It's packed with all sorts of good shit.
Oh yeah, for sure. And like, you can use it in your compost too, you know, it can expedite that too. So
yeah, I was just down on the farms in Colombia, and they were using their own coffee waste from, like, the cherry meat and the other parts of the coffee cherry that they don't use traditionally, they were composting with. So they're using inputs from their own crop to feed their crop. It's cool.
Yeah, and there's no better, like, when I think about it that way too, I like to think about, like, compost or even this worm bin. I was super amped for this year to be able to use these worm castings with my transplants for lettuce, because the majority of the worm's diet was lettuce. So all they did was just absorb exactly what was left of that lettuce, amplified it, and they just put it back out, and it was a little bit smaller of an input for me. So I was like thinking, I'll get super results, but instead now I'm using it up on some of my veggie potting mixes. I haven't risked it with a cannabis plant, just don't want to take the risk. It's new to me, so I don't want to, like, pathogens and stuff like that. But with some of my peppers and watermelons and zucchinis and stuff from my family that we grew, I'm potting them up into that worm casting mix, and I'm not seeing hellacious leaf growth. Like, it's not like going crazy like I thought, but instant uptick in, like, the healthiness of the plant, and then, like, stalk size and just how much they wanted to grow. And then the trick was, my buddy was like, well, maybe you're looking too much on the outside, flip it out open on the inside, and, you know, let's take a look at the roots. And we flipped it open and pulled it out of the 4-inch container. And, like, here's this root mass that's just packed. Nice. And, like, literally a worm crawling around inside of it, too. Like,
that's what's up, man. Yeah. Worm heaven.
He was like, there you go. Like, plant that outside, and I bet you that thing will take off. So totally. That's the plan for the day, is to get some of those out in the ground, too.
Nice. A little bit of a left turn. I have a question just popped into my head, because I was talking about my time down on the Colombian coffee farms at La Pradera. The great Oscar Bautista, third generation organic coffee farmer, was talking about they're harvesting under the moon. When they actually used to actually harvest in the moonlight. He said his workers thought he was crazy because he'd make them wear, like, miners' helmets and go out and harvest under the moon. I guess that he mentioned something about how it's more about harvesting during the full moon cycle, whether or not the moon is out. But apparently, according to Oscar, this has an effect on the sweetness of the coffee cherry. Do you do anything with the moon when it comes to veggies? Do you have any insight into that? We didn't prepare for this question, so if you say no, I won't be disappointed.
I've never experimented with the a moon phase, but it does. Past experience tells me, I used to work in a big rock quarry. I did a lot of things in the past, man. But when M. Shaw would come in and talk to you about the Mine Safety Hazard Association, they would talk about the full moon phase pulling more gravitational pull towards your big walls and how you have slough offs, and you could have somebody collapse on somebody. So
the moon would be more likely to cause that. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. That is crazy. I know. And that's from M. Shaw. So I was just that guy can't be lying to me, right? But then again, I don't know, man.
I'm sure that the miners mining is probably an old profession. They probably learned that the hard way. Why the fuck do they keep collapsing under the floor?
Yeah.
Dude, that's wild. I'm so glad you shared that.
So who knows? Maybe it pulls more water.
Right.
Maybe, you know, with the way that fruit uptakes, who knows? Ours is frost. Like, we're big believers in sugars and frost.
Oh, really? And up in Michigan, you probably play with cold.
Yeah. So, if you ever have, if you've ever ate farm fresh kale in the summertime, it's going to taste like a roughy, tough kale.
Sure.
But if you eat farm fresh kale in October that's been frosted on two times, like nice heavy frost, and kale's super hardy. That will be the best tasting kale of your life.
No shit.
It will blow you away. What's funny, this is really funny, and this is what made me catch on to that, besides kind of knowing just from taste differences, is deer in our area, by our garden. We used to have a really large kale crop, and they never touched it. Our first frost, I swear to you, I came back that night to come look at it, and they had almost wiped out all the kale.
Wow, that's insane.
So the deer waited around for the frost to come, and then once the frost come, it made the plant sweet enough for them to want to consume, and then they consumed it.
That's so crazy, and I'm sure it's not just the sweetness. There has to be a correlation there. Before we return to Nathan, let's give some love to Dr. Zymes. DrZymes.com is where you need to go. Promo code GROWCAST10 gets you 10% off. MyGrowPass.com for 25% off. Dr. Zymes also having some trouble with their promo code system, but we're giving them some love because they're probably in your garden store, and we love Dr. Zymes, so we're supporting them. They're working on that promo code system. Anyways, DrZymes.com is where you will find the amazing Dr. Zymes Eliminator, the revolutionary green solution that kills and eliminates soft-bodied insects, molds, and mildews on your indoor and outdoor gardens. OMRI listed, all natural, residue-free. You can use it anytime, any stage of your growth cycle. You can water it through to kill your fungus gnats. It doesn't harm your soil microbiology. You've heard the lovely Mary Beth Sanchez, who will be returning soon, go in-depth on why she loves Dr. Zymes. DrZymes.com, DrZymes.com. Promo code GROWCAST10 once they get their system back up and running for 10% off. MyGrowPass.com for 25% off, and much, much more. All right, let's return to the show. That's really super, super interesting. And as you know, I'm sure, having listened to this show, cold and cannabis, really, a lot of people using cold temps for various reasons in their cannabis growth.
Yeah, I could go off on questions about temperature and stuff like that with you. I wish I just need to be more active on the group, I guess, and start submitting some of my questions that I got coming up about temperatures and all that fun jazz on learning on my new learning curve. But
hey, man, we're going to be in touch. I have a feeling I'm going to have a lot of veggie questions for you on air and off air. Already deep into this interview. We're probably going to end up doing a two-parter maybe. If you're down, I do appreciate you, Nathan. This is a fun interview.
Yeah.
What can cannabis growers learn from crop rotation?
I think what the biggest thing they need to know is that growing on top of the same spots over and over again is just going to create your problems. And then just taking the time to look ahead and think, okay, I'm going to grow in this small little patch right here, or to be honest with you, I've been blown away about using the resource. You guys reusing soil. I'm confident that it works, but like, I'm just like thinking to myself, like, oh man, this doesn't seem, doesn't seem right to me to be reusing soil over and over and over again.
I've thrown out so much soil in my life that I'm ready. Cause I would clean up my soil and reuse some of it back in my synthetic days, but eventually there would be garbage bags full of like root bound, just like, you know, shitty soil. And I would have to dispose of it. And I just remember thinking to myself, this can't be fucking right. So I'm excited to take a crack at it, but same thing for me, reuse your soil. What are you talking about? Got to go get new soil.
Yeah. So with that, with crop rotation. So right now, that's what we're doing. We're focusing our farm on is just, we're doing a small veggie garden for the family, and then the rest of the plots that we have that we make into production, they are all going into cover crop this year. So we have peas, we'll do beans, we will do probably some white clover, and I don't know if you know what those veggies all have in common.
Hmm.
It is, they're called leguminous, or they're legumes.
Yeah, they're legumes, so they okay.
Legumes, yeah, they are going to produce nitrogen back into the soil for me within these nitrogen nodules. So that's my plan with that. And then what's nice about white clover, it's the Dutch white clover is a low growing and easy manageable. Plus, it's also a legume, so it's going to produce nitrogen for me. So like, I might even take a crack at next year planting into a grow space that only has, you know, 2-foot by 2-foot area chunk taken out of it, surrounded by that clover, and seeing how well things produce in that
holy situation. Shit. It's a beautiful plant too, Dutch white clover.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about we have large grow tunnels here. They're 80 feet long. And I just imagine myself opening up one of those and having a nice row of cannabis in there. And surrounded by that, you can walk in there with your shoes off and just have like this nice plush carpet of white clover surrounding it all with all the bees and all the beneficials that it brings in too.
Beautiful. It's almost like a thicker white dandelion looking.
Yeah.
But with a bed of clover leaves. Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that, man. I got to tell you, the listeners may have mentioned this before, but I'm addicted to all flowers. I'm actually running out to grab my lovely wife a huge bouquet after this. I think that there's something about whiffing flowers, cannabis or otherwise, that's very, very healthy for the human body.
Right.
Yeah, that, that's just me.
For sure. Kids love it too.
Yeah, that's totally.
That's the other weird thing about it is like you just give like a 3-year-old a little tiny daisy and they're like blown away for a couple of hours. Like parents would thank us because I would do that, take kind of cruddy looking flowers to the farmer's market and I keep them stashed in the back, and then when little kids walk
give
by,
it out to kids. That's sweet.
Yeah,
but damn, that, dude, that's that fun family.
But back to cover crops, I think another thing that is very underutilized, or maybe people just don't understand, is that if you're living in an area like I live in, we have some of the smartest, most intelligent agronomists that are around in this nation. Like we live in Cherry, the cherry capital of the world. Like cherry production's huge here, vegetable production's huge here, corn production, all that stuff. And I didn't do it at first because I didn't want to put my faith in like this guy called an agronomist. But then one of my commercial farmer friends that was just like, dude, I'm telling you, you need to call up this place. You need to talk to this guy. He's not going to hold anything against you because you're an organic vegetable farmer. They do not care. You bring money to them. That's all that matters. Like, they will help you figure it out. And for people in Michigan, they ended up hooking me up with a company called Morgan's Dairy Dew. And I know we've brought up different like growing mediums in the past, but like I've got to meet the whole Morgan's family, and like that's what got us in the worms. That's where we bought our original worms from. Yeah, and I've seen like their whole operation, and so like they're super trustworthy, and that was just because of my connection with my agronomist and how much materials I was using from that company, that they're just like, yeah, you should really meet them actually and see how they do that. And so field trips and stuff down there, and we did that. So don't be hesitant to reach out to other farmers, you know, like
anyone in the industry, right?
Yeah. Like any, and you know what, you might have to play it. You might have to play the political game. Like, don't come straight out and be like, yo, I'm growing a bunch of cannabis and like, this is what I'm doing.
Right.
Just come out, you know, like
respectfully
plants.
Talking plants.
Just be like, I got this plant. It's just, it's doing this. And like, you know, I really wanted to do that. And they'll be like, well, okay, we'll try that. The agronomist, I find that they don't care. I thought the agronomist would care. And he's like, I don't care. Like, we're having to learn about this stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't be the first person, man. I bet this has been going on for, I bet they were annoyed at first a couple of years ago, but they have to be receiving all sorts of cannabis related. And this is what we get from guests saying that they're trying this new nutrient that doesn't say that it works for cannabis, but they're using it because, you know, it's just an ag product and it's working. Whether it's, you know, there's a million different versions of that, you know what I mean? But I like your advice, which is don't be hesitant to reach out, make that connection, and people more or less, if you're respectful, are ready to help you.
Yeah, and then they'll hook you up with, like, I don't know, like, what a bag of ProMix costs, but
depends on where you are.
Cheaper resources, you know. The same company in disguise that I was just mentioning, they grow a product called Smoking Tomatoes.
Yeah.
And hence it's for cannabis. That's what they're orienting it towards. And, but they don't want their name on it. I think that's kind of weird, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah. Great.
Today I had to make the call. Do I go with the original mix that I always trusted with them? Or do I go with this new mix that they're putting out for, you know, cannabis?
And, oh shit.
And I made the call where I did not 50-50. I took four of the varieties out, took one each. The rest I'm going to go with my trustworthy mix. And then the other ones I'm just going to try on that bag. And that'll be like kind of my one experiment this year that I'm going to try with them.
Little split test. That's a good route to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've got a feeling that I'm going to find that they're identical.
It could be. Like, man.
I'm literally, people are paying $4 extra a bag for the Smoking Tomatoes over the other stuff, but
tends to happen. We'll see though.
We'll see.
And we can always follow up. You know, I'd love to get you on. I have a shit ton of questions about veggie growing specifically. Maybe I can just ask a few more here before we wrap up. My big concern, is light cycles. Are there good veggies to grow on the same light cycle as cannabis, veg or flower? For an indoor grower like me, listen, you listen to GrowCast, you know it's a run-on question. Yeah. Or should we always do separate tents and have two different tents, maybe keep our veg cannabis in the veg tent, something like that? What do you think about combining them versus two different spaces?
What about, why can't, if you did two veg tents, why couldn't you do long light cycle, short light cycle, and then probably find some plants that benefit from both?
Ah, so when you say long, you're talking about a kind of 18-6, and a short might be a 12-12?
Yeah.
Yep. Ah, I see. Okay. So what, just give me some examples. Like, what would that look like? What works?
Okay, so like your lettuce, you're going to want that under your 18-6.
Ah, good to know.
Your basils, your herbs, your a vegetable that doesn't need a flower, essentially, to get your harvest from.
Oh, that makes sense, duh.
So if you put your cucumbers in with your 18-6, that cucumber, it's not going to be underneath the same. I don't know. You know what? That might be over my head. I'll be honest with you. I'm gonna throw that out because I don't know if a cucumber would still flower underneath.
Well, exactly. And here's the thing: you Google it, and all these different vegetables have different kind of qualities, right? And like you said, most of them tell you a general light cycle that's something around there, but I'm reading this one needs well-drained soil, and this one doesn't like a lot of light, and this one wants more light. And it's like, how am I going to find a good mix of veggies to grow for me that will be easy, but also benefit my life in my garden, you know?
I think lettuce is always a good plant to start growing. What's nice about lettuce is, like, you can think about it this way, like a corn grower or a, you know, commercial grower that grows a commodity crop like corn, soy, they only get one shot a year to grow that one crop.
Right.
And so if they've been doing it for 20 years, they've only had 20 chances to try to actually grow corn.
Mm-hmm.
What's cool about lettuce is that you need to plant lettuce every single week if you want to constantly have it.
Wow.
So how quickly do you get to learn then? It's like, you're like, you learn, okay, we need both. My family needs, I don't know, 12 heads of lettuce a week. So I need to, I need to plant 12 heads a week. Insane. And then the next week you got to plant another 12 weeks. And then
you
after
just keep 50, it rotating. What is the harvest then, like, if I just plant lettuce today, when am I going to be eating lettuce?
55 to 60 days.
Okay. All right. And if you keep it on a cycle, then it'll be continuous.
Yes. And then, that's like, we get into another variety. So the other varieties you run into is like, you could do, that's like a head lettuce is 55, 60, where you could do a cut lettuce, which means like it kind of shoots up 3-4 leaves and then you just kind of take scissors and trim it off.
Mm-hmm.
That would be like a 30 day. You could have lettuce in 30 days then.
Oh, down with that, man. And that's really what I'm, because I mean, I'm patient enough for cannabis, even though I am still impatient, but really I want some veggies that'll give me some good food quickly. So,
A lot of your, a lot of your leafy greens then will be, that will give you the experience of growing them quicker and it'll probably build confidence quicker too.
Yeah.
So, you know, lettuce, learning, kale, you know, try your, like herbs can be a little bit tricky, but you can try your basils. You can try your smaller stuff that you kind of have to keep in rotation and maybe then build, that's when you can build up into like a tomato plant or, when I was wondering when we did get into the light cycle situation or talk, I was wondering if it has something to do with the family of plant too. So nightshade, what are some other nightshades that you could probably grow? And I bet you nightshades kind of line up along production wise with, light cycles that is similar with a cannabis plant.
Right. So what about microgreens? Just really quickly. Is this a good option? You grow out, there's a couple different types and you just harvest them when they're seedlings and they keep growing and keep harvesting them when they're seedlings. Is that right?
Yeah. So microgreens are really sweet. The program that I helped start with my wife at the school she worked with, the school would grow microgreens for all the students, like pea shoots and you name it. We would just, whatever the kids wanted. The budget was just like whatever. And
I'm thinking about growing microgreens, man.
Yeah, so we started growing like we had kids growing them. And we had kids growing them to the point of where they had learned enough and became adequate and well adjusted and they had it down to where like we're like, hey, this is the production for this week. We need 10 pounds of pea shoots for everybody in the school. And those kids would be able to grow 10 pounds of pea shoots.
Wow, that's cool, man.
But it's very cost intensive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you're looking at a lot of seed.
Oh.
And you're looking at a lot of, you're doing soil every week.
Okay. So that's the downside of the microgreen.
And then, you don't get your 60 days and then your large plant. You get, 21 to 30 day cycle on your microgreens.
Yeah, and then you just get a little pile of sprout looking things.
Yeah, which are super nutrient, but they're super nutrient dense.
So yeah, that's why I'm excited. It's some of the most nutrient dense kind of veggie you can put in your body. So I'm thinking about doing that, slapping it on my sandwiches, putting it in my smoothies. Microgreens are really attractive to me.
Yeah, and they taste great too. Kids love microgreens. Like kids at elementary schools, I've seen them scarf down pea shoots before because they taste just like a pea, even though they look like the shoot.
That's insane.
Yeah. And like, that's a good one for you to start with. If you are going to get into microgreens is like, try pea shoots, try sunflower shoots. Bigger size seed, I would suggest.
Okay. That's interesting. Cause neither of those were you can do a bunch of different ones. I understand, but neither of those were the top picks when I Googled it. So listen, man, this is the first episode of VeggieCast. We'd love to have you back another time. This was really wonderful. I appreciate you sharing your veggie expertise, and I wish you luck in your cannabis venture.
Yeah, man, I got so much I could talk about. I could ramble on for hours. So
where can my listeners find out more about you though and everything you're doing?
Okay, so if you guys want to check out and see all the pictures from last year, I'm sure we'll have some pictures this year come up and pop up too, but Gallant, Gallant Gardens, on Instagram, and then Gallant Gardens on Facebook.
Nice.
They're full of photos. I encourage you to check them out. The big thing about them I like the most is you'll see what our farm is operated on, and our farm is operated on a large south-facing slope. So we have that, like, Japanese, Taiwanese, a rice paddy look going for all, each one of our grow pads that we grow our vegetables on.
That's really cool. So, Gallant Gardens, everybody, go and give them a follow. I'm sure you'll see a little influx there, Nathan. Thank you so much, buddy. I appreciate you making time today.
No problem, Jordan. Hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Oh, of course. Definitely. Everyone listening, let us know how you're doing in your garden. Let us know if you're growing vegetables. I am always interested in that. Hit us up at GrowCast on Instagram. Shoot us what you got going on. I want to see your veg. I want to see your vegging plants. I want to see your vegging veg. Oh, this is Nathan the Veg Guy and Jordan River signing off. Telling you to be safe out there. Stay healthy. We'll see you next time, everybody. Be safe and grow smarter. That concludes today's program, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to GrowCast. Quickly, we're going to shout out Harvest Mutual Seed Bank, harvestmutualseedbank.com. Promo code GrowCast gets you free shipping. And mygrowpass.com members get 10% off plus free shipping. Harvest Mutual, we love this seed bank. They are still operating. They're still fulfilling their orders. Lots of problems with seed banks out there during COVID, but not Harvest Mutual. HarvestMutualSeedBank.com. Promo code GrowCast for free shipping. MyGrowPass.com for 10% off and free shipping. Got a lot of good breeders up there. Jinx Proof, all sorts of people. Shout out to Jinx Proof. Just had a brain surgery. We're wishing him the best of luck. And then we also wanted to shout out Canna Planners. Canna Planners creates websites for businesses in the cannabis industry. They help with SEO, which is very, very challenging. And they'll also hook you up with a website. Lots of people ask us that. CannaPlanners.com is our answer. Make sure you tell them GrowCast sent you. Thank you all so much. Best of luck out there. Stay healthy. Stay safe. I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.